Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible study, Revelation chapter 2, dealing with the church at Thyatira. We dealt last time with Jezebel, the self-appointed one, the self-anointed one, the one who calls herself a prophetess, teaching and seducing the servants of the Lord and things like that. And we're going to be talking a lot about the issue of doctrine and how important doctrine is to a believer. You hear a lot of things right now where say, oh, well, we just kind of forget about, you know, doctrines, and we just come together to worship Jesus, and that's all. And they make that sound real spiritual, like that's what God wants them to do, and that is the farthest thing from the truth. God is in doctrine, in correct doctrine. There's true doctrine and there's false doctrine, and God is in the true doctrine, and He wants His people to have true doctrines. But concerning this issue, I read a real interesting thing this morning. I was reading a really good book this morning called The King James Bible. And in this really good book I was reading, I saw something here in verse 24 that some of you have called or emailed our office and asked this question, Pastor Mike, I see things going on in our church, should I leave my church? I never, ever, hardly ever have an answer for that. I am not in the place of God in your life to tell you, oh yeah, you should leave. Now, in the case where, let's say, there is some really devilish, hellish, kundalini, you know, all kinds, I mean, hell has been unleashed in this congregation, yeah, I think it's time to go. But where, let's say, you disagree with an issue with, you know, something that the church is going along with that you don't agree with, or, you know, maybe one or two issues or whatever, you don't feel like leaving your church, or maybe you haven't felt that God is leading you out of that place yet. But you're afraid because of what's going on. You're afraid that maybe if you're there, God will judge you along with judging everybody else. And let me just, you know, I'll just tell you from the scriptures. And when I read in verse 24, you'll see this. I trust the shepherd. I trust the shepherd. Here we had a situation in this church where we had a group of people following Jezebel, and they were lapping up every kind of all the vomit that she was putting out there. They were just lapping it up like dogs. There was other people in that church that were going, man, I don't know about this. I mean, I'm not the pastor, but I just don't think this is right. And what it was, you had a situation where you had an entire church of people, but they were divided, okay? They were divided on doctrine. They were divided on what was right and what was wrong. And, you know, the call today is, let's just forget about doctrine and let's just worship Jesus. I'm telling you, let's not forget about doctrine. The people who would tell you to forget about doctrine are the people who want you to forget about your doctrines and what it is this Bible teaches so they can replace it with other doctrines. We're going to deal with this. But in this case here, in this church of Thyatira, there were obviously some people in gross error that Jesus warned that they needed to repent, and they did not repent. And so both Jezebel and her children, those disciples, were going to be cast into a bed, and they were going to enter into this thing that Jesus referred to as Great Tribulation. But I want you to notice that He is not going to judge the entire church based upon those who follow this doctrine. He as the shepherd, if you go look at Matthew chapter 25, that's what He did. You get an image of this in, who is it, in Jacob, who while he was working for Laban, he was able to separate these kind of goats from these kind of goats, and God blessed him. And here we have in Matthew chapter 25, the shepherd who is separating the sheep from the goats. He's dividing them asunder. The goats, of course, are going to be cast into fire, and the sheep are going to be taken up into heaven. And so look at verse 24, Revelation chapter 2. He says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. In other words, those of you who have been clean in this matter, those of you that have not fallen for Jezebel and her ways and followed after her, God says, I've got you separated already. I know whose side you're on, and don't worry. I'm not going to lay the things that I am going to judge her and her followers with. I'm not going to lay that on you. The Bible's just full of this, of God taking His people and setting them over to the side and say, you stand here while I deal with what's going on here. God is a God of separation. He separates His people out from the wilderness, from Babylon, from everything that goes on there. God separates his people out and says, you know, you're on my side. I'll take good care of you. Those of you, I know you're not. I'm thinking of the day when they came up against Moses in the wilderness. So let's go back to Egypt. The gainsaying of Korah. And the Bible says that Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Okay, come over here and stand by me. And a bunch of people went over there and they stood by Moses. Then you have Korah and all these other people going, we're going back to Egypt. And the earth opened up and swallowed them whole. Ate them up. Okay, gone forever. God knows who's on whose side. Don't worry about that. God knows your heart. He knows what side, he knows how you stand. He knows that you're watching things going on in your church, and some of it may not sit right with you, but in some cases you're grieving over it. You grieve over what's going on in your church because you love your church and you'd like to see God in it. But I'm telling you, God knows who all the troublemakers are. So anyway, that's what he's doing as a shepherd. Now, he says, in verse 24, but I send you and unto the rest in Thyatira as many as have not this doctrine. And I'm just going to do, I've got 3 pages of notes here and I don't know how much time I've got left, but I'm just going to kind of run through some things and let the Bible show us about doctrine. Doctrine is important. Doctrine is what we believe and how we believe. What is the basis for what we believe? When a lot of these people come out and say, in fact, I had a phone call from a guy today, praise the Lord, that the way he is believing now from the Bible is not the way that his church is going. At some point he's going to have to make a decision. God, do you want me to stay here and be in salt and light, or do you want me to move on down the road? But to him, the doctrine issue was very, very important. Some of you have asked me, what about your church's doctrinal statement? And I reassert this. From Genesis to Revelation, that is our doctrinal statement. God actually says it better than I do. And so why should I try to condense down, in man's words, what only God can say? And I'm going to kind of show you and help you with it. And I'm not saying that all doctrinal statements are of the devil and they're of hell. And I'm not saying that. We've gotten so used to a lot of things. And at some point it did help differentiate those, in a very simple form, those who truly believe the Word of God from those who didn't. But the thing is, here's what really troubles me. It doesn't matter really who's you own websites of churches or ministerial organizations. And these organizations are pretty much, because they want to reach a broad audience, they're going to have a very generic doctrinal statement. We believe this, and we believe, and they could be Baptist or Presbyterians or Nazarene or Pentecostal. You don't know what they are based upon what their doctrinal statement is. So they really have not done a good job of clarifying and separating themselves as to what they believe. Well, what we believe here in this church is that this King James Bible right here is the perfect Word of God. And it contains every doctrine that we believe. If this Bible says it, we believe it. You don't have to worry about that. If this Bible says it, we believe it in the context of the Bible, and as the Bible means it and as the Bible teaches it. That's what we believe here. And so anyway, doctrine is important. Let me just run through some verses very, very quickly, very rapidly, in a very fast manner. So you kind of get how the Bible refers to doctrine. Deuteronomy 32, verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish. I like that word there. I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. This is what separates us out from every other mystery religion in the world, is that Bible Christianity teaches that all the doctrines, all of them, all the doctrines of God have come down from heaven to us as, you know, sort of like rain, so that we can grow thereby. And he says, in order to publish the name of the Lord. And the word publish means to make public. In other words, it's published. Everything that we believe is public knowledge. You want to know what we believe? Here it is right here. Read it. That separates our church, other churches like us, from every other mystery cult in the world who refuse to publish certain of their doctrines. They're not going to tell you the whole deal. They're going to hide it from you. They're going to keep it secret from you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 2. God says, For I give you good doctrine. The doctrines that we believe are good. They are good for us. They are good universally. They're not just, well, that's good for you, but, you know, we're kind of a different people, and that's not really for us. No, 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 no. Good is good. I don't care where you go. Good is good. And he said, I give you good doctrine. By the way, let me make it a biblical equation here. Good means that it's light, L-I-G-H-T. God saw the light that it was good. Universally, light equals good, and good equals light. And when he says, I give you good doctrine, he says, I'm giving you doctrine that's light on your journey in a very, very dark world. If it's not good doctrine, it's darkness. Isaiah 28:9. This is concerning the drunkards of Ephraim, who have a drunken spirit. Remember Mystery Babylon, Jezebel. She has a drunken spirit. And they are preaching false doctrine in their churches, behind their pulpits. And God is looking for people that he can teach good doctrine to. He's looking for people. He is scanning the globe looking for people that he can teach that are teachable. So he says in Isaiah 28:9, he says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, that's a picture of the Word of God, and drawn from the breasts. Interesting thing here is that a woman has two breasts that gives milk. And that's to show that that represents the Old Testament and the New Testament there. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Hear the double talk there. Here a little and there a little. And what that means is here a little and there a little. Okay? He's going to teach you. He's going to give you knowledge, and he's going to make you understand doctrine. First you read some out of the Old Testament, then you go read some out of the New Testament, then you go back to the Old Testament, then you go back to the New Testament. And what happens is, and this is what happened with me, and I had have a very good friend in the ministry that gave that as his testimony. He said what happened was God saved him and God called him to preach. And he said, I had 20 straight years of Sunday school attendance, and he said, I didn't really know the Bible. And he started studying. He'd read a little bit in the Old Testament. He'd read a little bit in the New Testament. He said what happened was at some point it started clicking that those two would shine light and shed light one upon the other. The Old Testament would speak of the New, and the New Testament would speak of the Old, because the two walk together because they are agreed. And all of a sudden, God began to teach him the depth of straight doctrines from the Bible. He wasn't reading the doctrinal literature. He wasn't reading taking the denominational lines. He was reading the doctrine straight from the Scripture, and God was showing that here a little and there a little. Then he says in verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. So, you know, doctrine, listen to this now. I want you to, and boy, I tell you what, let me spend some time with this just for a minute. This is really, really important. If I wanted to be a false prophet, I could, because I know how to do it. Okay. I know how to do it really well. I probably wouldn't be able to hold a straight face though. But if I wanted to be a false prophet, I know how to do it. What I could do is I could set you up to believe that the original languages actually say something far different than this Bible right here. Okay? That's how they do it. You go listen. You go watch what's going on. You take a look around you at the new doctrines that are coming, the doctrines of devils. How are they getting church people to believe this stuff? They're going, now, in the original Hebrew, it says this. And what they're doing is they're very subtly laying for you a different wall of salvation for you. They're building up something that is not recognizable as far as this Bible is concerned. And God equates the doctrine. Who is he going to make to understand doctrine? Those to whom he speaks with another tongue. In other words, and that goes to Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke in, I can't remember all the languages there. In Acts chapter 2, there were 17 of them. Maybe that's why I can't remember them. They spoke all these different languages, not Shambhala, Shambhala. That's not what they were saying. They were speaking these other languages, and people understand their own. We hear this in our own language. Okay, wow, amazing. And from that point, God began to give understanding to the Gentiles, the people who didn't necessarily speak Hebrew. That's what he was doing there. So you stop and think about that. If all this Hebrew study that everybody's doing is so correct, how come the Hebrews don't know the Bible? How come the Hebrews don't know who the Messiah is? Well, I mean, what's something's not right here. And so anyway, the doctrines that are being taught are from this Bible given to us in our language. I'm going to move on here. Jeremiah 10:8, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. You know what the stock is in Jeremiah chapter 10? It's that tree they went to cut down. They went in the woods and they found them a real nice big old fir tree and they cut it down, cut all the limbs off of it. The old boy took an axe and he began to carve a face in there. And then he began to carve arms into this thing. He began to carve feet under this thing. And they dressed it up real nice and put gold leaf around it so that it was a wood, had wood on the inside and had gold on the outside. And they took this thing and they carried it around because even though it has legs, can't walk. And it has ears, but it can't hear. It has eyes, but it can't see anything. It was an idol. That's what that stock is. Okay, it was an idol. And he said, they're altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Anybody that thinks they have to have some icon or image so they can visualize God or whatever, God's telling you that doctrine is a doctrine of vanities. Go into a Roman Catholic church or in some of these so-called Protestant churches where they got a big statue of Jesus sitting up on the stage. I've been in one of those churches, and I'm telling you, I'm watching this thing. I was at a funeral one time, and they had a big old 10-foot-tall statue of Jesus sitting up on the stage on the throne. I won't say what kind of church it was. It was not a Catholic church, though. And I'm going, okay, I'm not sure about this. Well, anyway, here comes the minister of the church come walking in from the back down the front, down the aisle there, and he's reading a prayer. And I'm going, okay, read a prayer, okay. And then he goes up to the stage, and he's standing before the big 10-foot-tall statue of Jesus, and he's bowing and reading the prayer. And I'm going, okay, gotcha there. Okay, I'm done. Okay, this is not right. That is precisely what the commandment said not to do. And God says it's a doctrine of vanities. You're praying to a stupid piece of wood is what you're doing. And your prayers go from your mouth to the wood and goes, boom, stops right there. That's people that pray to idols. And that doctrine is a doctrine of vanities. And I'll tell you this, listen to me now. When the pure, true doctrines of the Bible have been replaced in a person's heart, they are replaced in exchange for doctrines of vanities that will cause people to worship an image instead of the real deal. Okay? Just kind of keep that in mind. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. Sounds like a lot of churches. But their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And I want to encourage you, whether you're in a fundamental church or a liberal church, if they're teaching doctrines, if it comes out of the pulpit, if it comes out of the literature, if it comes out of the Sunday school class, if they are teaching doctrines, make sure, you personally have a responsibility to make sure that those teachings, those doctrines, those standards of living, those guidelines, those morals that they teach you, make sure that they are coming to you from the Scriptures and not the commandments of men. Men, I happen to be one of them, I happen to be a religious man, a religious leader man, and I can tell you that I have, over the years, concocted all kinds of things for people that I expect people to live by, you do this, that are not necessarily founded in the doctrines of the Scriptures. And in those cases, I have been wrong. Likewise, when they tell you, oh, well, let me give you this. All the Bibles are full of mistakes, okay? I believed it at one time. Until it dawned on me, all these people who were teaching me that the Bibles, the translations were wrong, including the King James, they never quoted Scripture to tell me that. They always just said, well, you know, Dr. So-and-so said, and according to ancient studies, and Westcott and Hort, you know, put this together. But nobody ever quoted Scripture, not one time. There is no Scripture There's no scripture anywhere in the Bible that says your Bible is going to have mistakes in it. It's not there. That's the doctrines of men, the commandments of men. Be careful about what you're believing. And if what you're believing, if what you're being told is not founded upon the plainness of the scriptures, don't believe it. Okay? And you're not going to be held accountable for it. Jesus said, okay, I got you, Thyatira. You got those who are following Jezebel. I'm going to curse them. And those people in the church that are not, I got you. Okay? I've done separated you out. Matthew 16:11. That's pretty good. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. Had an interesting conversation today with a woman that called. I was talking about her church, talking about the fact that her one of the pastors there was equating Gandalf, the wizard of the Lord of the Rings, with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I know. No minister, no quote unquote Christian minister, who does not hold the doctrine of the Bible is ever going to get up one Sunday after preaching the foundational truths of the Bible, get up the next Sunday and say, listen, we've been all wrong about this. We actually need to be worshiping Satan. So why don't we all bow to this pentagram and sacrifice a chicken and drink the blood, and then we will be worshipers of Lucifer? They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. You know how it's going to go? One little bitty doctrinal change. Let's just kind of tweak this just a little bit. And instead of saying, thou shalt surely die, let's say, thou shalt not surely die. We just kind of took the adjustment knob and turned it just a little bit to the left. That's all it takes. A little leaven. One little microbe of yeast in bread, given the right circumstances and the right temperature and enough time, leavens the whole lump. Because it just grows from there. Be careful about set up doctrines. And you hear me make this statement a lot, set up doctrines. Okay? Somebody is teaching you something contrary to the Bible, and it may sound minuscule at first, but it's setting you up to believe a greater heresy. Mark chapter 1, verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he's taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had tore him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even unclean spirits, and to obey him. And I'll tell you something, when your doctrines come from the Bible, devils cannot handle that. Because your doctrines now have authority. And we were talking about Jezebel. I want to tell you what Jezebel's really, really good at. Jezebel is good about, let's say there's a roadblock and a barrier to false doctrine in your mind or in your family or in your church, okay? Jezebel is really good about removing that roadblock, okay? And all she has to do is get you over one verse. That's all she has to do. Because once the seeds, the leaven of heresy comes in, and here's the leaven of heresy. The leaven of heresy is not everything in the King James Bible is perfect, okay? So that leaves you with a doubt in your mind that maybe just one verse in the Bible is not really right. That's going to leave a little barren wasteland in your mind for you. And so in order to get around this, they will tell you, now this verse in the King James is not really right, but most of it is. But here in this one place here, it's not right. Well, that leaves a void. Okay, what is right? When they come out with a new doctrine to replace it with, that's removing this little barrier that is in the way that Jezebel doesn't like. And now with this one doctrinal statement, with this new issuance of doctrine in you, now the door is open. And now all kinds of false doctrine are creeping this way. This is how things are going. Need to move on. Mark 11:18. The scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And I'll tell you what, when you start believing the right way and start believing this King James, and you just say, you know what, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. If it's not in the Bible, I don't believe it. Don't be surprised when you get the shunning. Don't be surprised when people start talking behind your back. Don't be surprised when people start pushing you away. And don't be surprised one day when they start killing us. Okay? Luke 4:32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. That's the only way you'll have power in your life, is to have Bible doctrine inside of you. John 7:16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak it of myself. In other words, you get in the will of God and you get in this Bible and you'll be able to tell the right doctrines from the wrong doctrines. Acts 2, we dealt with this verse dealing with false apostles. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine. So watch this. The plain teaching of the Bible is the apostles were called by Jesus Christ himself and they wrote doctrine. This new idea says, oh no, so-and-so there is, he's an apostle. Okay? Open the door just a little bit. So now you believe that this guy is an apostle and he has a right to teach you doctrines that are not in this Bible. That's what the Roman Catholic Church is built on. That's what the Mormon Church is built on. That's what all the false religions are built on, is the idea that man is a replacement for God or God's Word. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, listen to this. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Now, I want to tell you what Rick Warren went around telling everybody in Purpose Driven Church. Rick Warren says, oh, you're going to have these old people that's not going to like the rock and roll music and all the stuff that's going on, these new Bibles. So you know what you need to do? You need to say, you know, the Bible is against you causing division. Please leave. And they'll put you out of your own church. Okay? And they say, you know, God's really not in division. You're just being so divisive, and God is not in division. I want to tell you something. God is in division. He said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. When they start coming in with these false, fake, phony doctrines that sound right, but they're not from this Bible, they're the ones that are causing the division. And Jesus said, mark them. Okay? Mark them. I think that's related to Revelation 13. I really do. And he said, avoid them. Don't get around them. Don't try to get in arguments with them all the time either. Okay, walk a big circle around these people. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? They're not saved. That's what that says. They're not saved, but their own belly. You know what the belly? I know this one. You know what the belly represents? Appetites. Okay? Fleshly appetites. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They're not serving Jesus Christ. Wolves in sheep's clothing are not sheep. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, and you'd be amazed at the number of churches where they show up and listen, so and so over here has got a revelation from God. So and so over here has got a tongue. So and so in here has got a prophecy. So and so. That is exactly what Paul was condemning here in 1 Corinthians 14. And he does so. Listen to this now. He said, everyone have you have a revelation, you have interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Okay? False doctrines are always going to come about by people who have a private interpretation or some sort of private new revelation from God that is contrary to what's in this book. Mark it down. Ephesians 4. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, okay, fivefold ministry here, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. This is talking about the second coming of Christ, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Did you know that there's been some devils just waiting for you to walk around the corner to get you? Okay? That's how it works. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Don't teach anything, and don't allow yourself, your family, your children to be taught anything that is not in this Bible. Don't allow that. So when they show up in the deal there, like this lady told me, and this preacher is preaching out of Lord of the Rings and saying, "Oh, Gandalf the Wizard, he's Jesus," okay? I wouldn't sit there, okay? Now, God may not tell you to leave, but that wouldn't last very long with me, okay? Anyway, that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So, you know what endless genealogies has a lot to do with? Why is it that the Mormon Church spends millions of dollars every year trying to track down who came from where? Why is it that Ancestor.com is one of the big websites? Now, why is it that we're trying to DNA database everybody? I don't have the full and complete answer, but be very, very careful. I'm not saying, to me it's interesting to go find out, you know, who my great-grandparents were, who their parents were, where they came from. I mean, that, to me, that's interesting. But when you start basing, listen to this now, when you start basing your ideas of salvation upon bloodlines instead of on faith, you've abandoned the doctrines of the Bible. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's like the devil said, well, God can write doctrines? Well, so can we. Okay, so they do. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I think there's people out there that are not going to get saved because their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. They'll do wrong and keep a straight face about it. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, that's Roman Catholicism right there. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And by the way, commanding to abstain from meats, when these people come and tell you that you have to, if you choose to follow the Mosaic law concerning eating and drinking and things like that, more power to you. Praise the Lord. But when you go around telling everybody that they're lost and they're not saved, or they're going to lose their salvation, or they cannot be saved if they're eating bacon or pork or ham or crab or crawfish or whatever it is, when you tell people they're not saved because of that, you have abandoned the doctrines of this Bible right here. Let's see, verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. That's the important thing right there. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. That's what he said back here in Proverbs. God says, I give you good doctrine. How? By the words, let me read this right, words of faith, plural. That means all of them, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy 6:3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, here it is, withdraw thyself. That means come out of the Joyce Myers concert, come out of the Word Faith Prosperity Movement, come out of all of these movements that are contrary to the doctrines of the Lord Jesus. He said, withdraw thyself. Get away from there. Quit going over there. Quit going to the meetings. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now, if I stopped right there, that'd be it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. If your doctrine or the doctrine of somebody that you sat and listened to is not coming from this Bible right here, don't trust it. Don't trust it. I don't care if it's one of these other like extra biblical sources, like some of these other, you know, books that people are reading, like Enoch or Jubilee or the book of Jasher or whatever. And I've read Jasher and I've read Enoch. Very interesting books, but I don't trust them. Okay, there might be some things in there that are true, but I don't trust those books. I trust this one. Okay, and so anyway, if I'm going to have doctrine, it's going to come from here, and you're not going to convince me otherwise. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. I like when an old preacher said, when he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, he said that means rabbit season, and squirrel season, and deer season, and bass season. I just thought that was funny. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Teach them doctrine. Don't give them feelings and emotions. Our churches, I mean, I like it when we have good church service and boy, the Lord comes down and just blesses and deals with everybody. And there's tears at the altar and everything like that. But I'll tell you what I'm against by and large is thinking that a church service should be a religious pep rally to get everybody pumped up with the music and with the smooth words from the preacherette or whoever that is back there. I'm against that stuff. I think church ought to be real, genuine. I think it ought to be honest and forthcoming and teach doctrine. And I'll tell you something. You'll never know the blessing that you're missing out of when you sit under doctrinal teaching or when you yourself will teach and preach Bible doctrines. Okay? The Holy Ghost will do things and revive people's souls a whole lot better than your music and your pep rallies. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're already there. But after their own lust, you know what that means? Well, I go to this church because I like the music. And what they're not telling you is because I'm shacking up with my boyfriend and this preacher don't preach anything about it. Okay? That's what they're not saying, but that's why they're going. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, the Chronicles of Narnia, and all this other. He said those should be turned into fables. Hebrews 13:9. Be not, boy, am I almost done? Yeah, this is it. There's two more verses right here and I'm done. Hebrews 13:9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have occupied therein. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Again, if they don't agree with the Bible, be done with it. Last one. 2 John 9:9. Here we go. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Period. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Hi. We're from the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witness. We'd like to share with you the truth of Jesus Christ. Can we come in for a few minutes? Just politely say, no, you cannot come into my house. I do not approve of what you're doing. Please don't come back to our area ever again. I've actually told him this. Of course, the guide knew who I was. You're my target, aren't you? Yeah. Oh, I ain't staying around. That's what he did. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't bless them. Don't have a nice day. Okay? You can try to witness to them, but when I begged this man, and I mean I was asking God to give me a sincere and loving heart on this deal, while this man was talking, and they just come by here about a month or so ago, and I said, please, would you listen to me just for a minute? The guy, brick walls was just going up all around him. He said, let's go. Let's get out of here. They're probably not going to listen. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Folks, doctrine. Doctrine's everything. Doctrine is everything. If your doctrine's not right, there's a good chance that someone is setting you up for a false gospel. Okay, really, really good chance that you're being set up or your family's being set up. Those who are weak, you might be strong in doctrine, but let's say maybe your spouse or your children or whatever, they may not be that strong. One of the things that's really encouraging me is we're hearing from a lot of young people that are have decided to just be strong in the Bible and strong in the faith. And that blesses my heart. But if you detect that maybe your family and that maybe, let's say, your wife or your husband or your children is weak in certain areas when it comes to these issues, man, I'll tell you what, you need to get along with God and say, God, you fix this thing. Okay, God, please protect my family from false doctrine. Because in the absence of true biblical doctrines, the devil always, always has a substitute ready to put in its place. That's what you have to be careful of. All right? And here Jesus has just told him. He said, I know which ones are right. And he said, I'm not going to lay these burdens that I'm going to put on Jezebel and her children. He said, I'm not going to do that to you. Because I know that you really want to believe me and you want to believe the truth. And he said, I've got something special for you. Those of you that hang on to what I've given you, I've got something special for you. We'll deal with that next Wednesday. All right. God bless you. I love you. Keep us in your prayers and our ministry and all the work that we're doing here. We just need a lot of prayers sometimes. And just pray that God will help us and we can always be a blessing to you and your family. God bless you. I love you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.